praise you today, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, congregation. Y'all are really worshiping the Lord. You know, I was thinking about how many times worship and praise was attached to something the people of God were going through. Either it was a battle, or it was a great need, or they were facing some incredible things, and they were just, they just worshiped God. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, and I thank God, you know, from the very first day I got saved, February the 12th, 1978, singing to the Lord was just such a blessing to me. I just, you know, not being raised in it, I did not understand the blessing of that. And I have enjoyed that for all 37 years of following the Lord. It's just the ability to be able to come in and sing with the saints of God. Amen. I mean, enjoy singing to the Lord. And I know most of you do not just sing when you're here, and you sing when you're alone. And we appreciate when you sing alone like that, but because that's like me, you know. I keep telling Debbie I'm practicing, and she just says, keep practicing, honey. But anyway, I know the Lord appreciates it, and He loves it, so we thank the Lord for that. But I just felt that I wanted to say this to you because, you know, when I first got saved, there were songs like, I'm leaning on the Lord, and there were songs, and they just attached to me because many times I was going through so much at that time in the beginning of my experience, and since then, that, you know, those were my salvation, were the songs to sing to the Lord, because there's something that happens when we sing. It really releases something from heaven to us. And I know that when we send the praises up, God sends the blessing down. I want to say that again. When we send the praises up, He sends the blessings down. It releases the blessings from heaven. And so I just appreciate your praise and your worship today. And we thank the Lord for you. We just thank the Lord. I'm really proud of all of you. You're doing a wonderful job. And I know many of you are just going on for the Lord. And we thank the Lord for that. I have a message this morning, and I don't want you to get mad at me for the title of my message, but the title of my message is, Are You Heavy Enough? Now, don't look around and look at anybody. Because in America, we're a healthy group, amen. I'll just put it that way. Like my mother always said, Jay, you always had big bones. Amen. So, anyway, but that is the title of my message today. And I just want to allow the Lord to help us today. I don't know what you're going through or where you're at in your experience with the Lord. But I do know this. He knows where you are. There's not a day or an hour of any day He doesn't know where you are. It says His eyes are upon you and His ears are open to your cries. That's 24/7, my friend. It says He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always there. Aren't you glad? How many's had to call on Him at 1 o'clock in the morning and realize He was there listening to you? Thank God, thank God. How many thank the Lord that He cares about you so much? And so we just want to just pray and ask the Lord. And I say this, you know, I was taught when I first was given the Bible to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because the Holy Spirit wrote the book. He used men to write it, but He wrote it. And so when you're reading it, how many know He knows exactly why He wrote it? Now, it may have been written thousands of years ago, but at the moment He wrote it, I believe it is so relevant even to our day. But if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, He'll help you to understand it. See, what man doesn't understand, he rejects it. That's why he'll throw this away and pick up the newspaper every time. Because he understands what's going on in that newspaper. But he doesn't understand this. And that's why it's easier. But you cannot let that stop you. You have to put that paper down and pick up this one. Because let me tell you what, there's no good news in this land today. It's very, very, very good. Very, very few things that are good to listen to today. But I'm going to tell you, this book is full of good news. I mean, when Brandon read that scripture, didn't that just ignite something in you? And see, a lot of times, folks, I'm just going to say this, a lot of times you just need to get in your living room and read the Word out loud. Just read it out loud. When you're having a tough day on the job, get in the bathroom, get in the stall and shut it, and have your little Bible and read it out loud. What's it matter? Man alive, people talk on the phone in them stalls now. It's incredible. What's it matter? It's our salvation. But to read that word, you know, when I worked secular work and I worked out at Celanese, every day at lunchtime, I would go find a company truck that had a radio in it, and I would eat my lunch and I would sit and listen to Marilyn Hickey teach the Word of God. For 15 minutes, she taught the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you expose yourself to the Word of God over and over and over again, God puts something in you. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about your weight today because it's important. Father, today we thank you so much for your Son Jesus. Lord, we just can't thank you enough. We thank you for what you've done for us. Every day we walk in, every time we come together here in a service, Lord, it's that cross that's behind us that reminds us of what you were willing to do for us. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead this time of ministry of the Word. Help your people to understand, not only to understand it, but to apply it. And then to hold on to it, Lord. You told the writer of Hebrews to write, hold on to the Word of God. Don't let it slip from your hands or your mind. So Lord, today I thank you for every person here today. And I just pray, Lord, that Father, they'll hear you speak to them and they'll know it's you and not me. That, Lord, that I'm going to say things today that you've given me to say that I have no idea how it's going to fit into one of these people's lives. But, Lord, it's going to fit. And it's going to fit because you know exactly what they need to hear. And there's no one else that knows that. And, Lord, we thank you for that today. And I ask you to bless your people today. Enlarge our territory. May your hand be upon us. And may you deliver us from the evil one. Lord, that we cause no pain. And, Lord, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something called momentum. Is Mark Peace here today? Mark is not here. He's working. He's one of the pilots in the ship channel. They take him out and he brings the ships in into the channel to unload the ship. So he'll know, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But momentum, I want to define momentum. It's the property of a moving body that determines the length of time required to bring it to rest when under the force or action of movement. Let me read it again. The property of a moving body that determines the length of time required to bring it to rest when under the force or action of movement. When there is a ship, whether it's a cruise ship, a military ship, whether it's a cargo ship, you know, and they're building ships that are just huge these days, tankers and cargo ships that are just mammoth. But when they are out on the ocean and they're under the power of those engines, incredible, powerful engines that are moving those boats and ships through the water. If those engines stop running for whatever reason, that ship will continue to move through the water, and that is what's called momentum. It is that movement after that causes it to move through. And many of those ships, and you know, don't hold me to this, but I think it's pretty true. But some of those ships, it'll take over a mile for some of those ships to come to a complete stop because of the weight that they have on them. You know, any kind of motors, when the thrust of those motors and in those ships and they quit and they move through, that's what they call momentum. Their forward movement keeps them moving, and that's called momentum. And it's important that we have momentum, the ability to keep moving. You know, I heard a preacher one time down in West Columbia. He said, the title of his message was, "I've never seen a vulture eating a moving cow." And while that was funny, that's true. Vultures don't eat moving cows. They eat dead cows that have come to a complete stop, that are dead. And you know, that happens, but when the weight of the vehicle, whether it's a car, a train, a boat, whatever it may be, but when the engine stops, it will still keep moving. Whether it's a car, train, or boat, it'll still keep moving because of momentum. Momentum is the force behind you that is greater than the opposition in front of you. I want to say that again. Momentum is the force that is behind you that is greater than the force that is in front of you. It keeps you moving. How many say amen? It keeps you moving. Weight determines momentum. Weight determines momentum on how dense and how much that you weigh. And I now, you know, I have something in this sack, and it's something that's dreadful. It terrifies us. We don't even like it. I hate to bring it out because I don't want you to get a bad feeling while you're here in church. But I had to bring it here in the sack so I could show it to you, because I know that it's just a terrifying thing when we ever see these things, but it's called a scale. And we just get terrified of these things. I mean, you know, the worst thing a doctor can do when you get there, you're already sick. Why does he have to weigh you? How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I just, when I step through the door, it's like, go to the scale. Oh, I know how much I weigh. I'm all right. But there's a real reason why they weigh you, because they're watching something. Measurements. There's for someone that is you know, I've always said I'm a perfect weight for somebody that's about 8'3". I'm perfect weight for that. But there's they want that because sudden drops in weight or sudden, if there's a weight gain, sudden drops in weight, it all is a signal that there's something wrong with your health. And they need to monitor that. And so while we don't like to weigh, I was just wondering if I can get a couple of volunteers to come up. I'd like to get a couple of the numbers. Oh, no volunteers today. Okay, amen. How many know pretty much how much you weigh today? I mean, to within 10 pounds, how many? And how many are willing to tell us how much that is? Well, my Lord. When Debbie went in, when she was diagnosed with this situation that she's in, you know, one of the first things they ask her is how much you weigh. Well, I've been asking her that for years. And there's just been no way she would tell me. But it all came out a couple of weeks ago, so I got the goods on her now. I've got everything on her right now. So anyway, so we're good to go on that. But I'm not talking about physical weight. I'm talking about spiritual weight. And let me tell you something, whether you know this or not, but every single person on the face of the earth has a spiritual weight. You have a spiritual weight. Whether you know it or not, if you look at somebody, now you can tell physically, you may can even guess their weight, but when you're talking about spiritually, you can't look at a person necessarily and say how much they weigh spiritually, because you don't know. But how many know God knows how much you weigh? You know, the Bible talks about that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature when he was small. You remember that? He grew in wisdom and in stature. The word stature there does not only mean that he grew up and to be a tall man. Stature doesn't just only mean that. Stature means that he grew in wisdom, understanding, discernment. He grew in spirituality. See, he grew to allow his father to control his life. He grew. You know, how many know that Jesus didn't weigh the same that he weighed when he was 12? As he did when he was 33. Now, he weighed different. Not only physically, but spiritually, he weighed different. See, when Jesus went through the wilderness experience in Matthew 4, and he went through Gethsemane at the end of the Gospels, when he came through those experiences, he didn't weigh the same as when he went in. When he came out of those experiences, he weighed something different. He had something in him different than when he went in. That's why, folks, it doesn't happen every time, but you can go to a conference, you can go to a service, you can hear a preacher, you can even read the word sometimes at home. I want you to listen to me very carefully, because this happens. It doesn't happen every time, but it happens. And when you walk away from that time, you'll say, God did something in me. You hear what I said? God put something in me. In other words, you don't weigh the same. you don't weigh the same, and you feel it. Many times when you put on weight, you feel it. Your clothes don't fit, right? And when you lose weight, your clothes don't fit. When you start putting on weight spiritually, everything doesn't fit the way it used to. No, it's not even the same anymore. Let me let you in on something. Debbie told me that within the last 2.5 weeks that she's been on, she said, and she doesn't even know what I'm preaching on this morning. I never do that. That's a no-no to me. Because Debbie will just take off and give me a whole nother message. That's the truth. If I tell her, I don't even tell her anymore. Because her mind is so full. It's not a bad thing. I don't mean it bad. But see, God gives me something. If I was to go, that's why I don't ask people. I don't call you and say, well, what do you think about this if I preach this? No, I don't. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but God has something. If I start asking opinions of everybody else, God didn't say to do that. That's why you have to be careful when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. Don't ask people whether their opinion of it. It's because there's somebody in the crowd that may not agree with that. And then you have a contention there. Oh, Lord, especially if it's somebody in your life that you love and respect, but they don't agree with you. And a lot of times that happens. And that's why the Lord says you better be careful about that. So what happened, though, when he grew in wisdom and stature, you remember that when Jesus was 12, they went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when they were leaving, everybody got in their caravan and went home. Where was Jesus? He didn't go home. He went to the temple. Now get this. He's 12. It says after 3 days. What would you do if you're 12-year-old? In our day, you can lose your mind over what happens when your child is gone. So you can only imagine the mind frame his mother was in and father when they found him. And where did they find him? In the temple. What was he doing? He was setting. He was listening to the teachers, and he was asking questions. And they were, who is this? Well, his mama comes in there and says, you just get yourself up and get back to that caravan. You're going back home with me. And what did the Bible say? And from that time, he was subject unto them. What does that mean? He came underneath their subjection for the next, what? 18 years. He did exactly what his mom and dad told him to do. Why? Because he grew in stature. See, if you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to have to learn submission. You're going to have to learn to do what God tells you to do. And God puts people over you, not to hurt you, but so that you can submit to him through them. That's even a secular boss. Listen, God's people, when God puts his people on secular jobs, don't you think for a minute he doesn't know who he's putting you under. Did you hear what I just said? Even on secular jobs, God will hold the heart of the boss in his hands because of you, because you're his child. So that's why when you appeal to God, you appeal to him. And he will change. That's why it says the heart of the king is in God's hands. He turns those things. So he had to learn this, and he had to get his feelings, he had to get his desires under control. He couldn't just do whatever he wanted to as a 12-year-old. And that's one sign when God begins to put weight on you. One of the signs is that you will quit doing things the way you want to do it. And you will do it according to the way he wants to do it. That puts weight on you. When God puts something in you and you know it's there, you're reading and all of a sudden, it's just like when Brandon read that scripture. I felt something go in me. Why? What's he doing? He's preparing you. He's building you so that you're denser, you're heavier. There's a reason why God's putting weight on you. If I wanted to throw something through the back of that screen, I wouldn't take my handkerchief to do it. Why? Because it doesn't have enough weight. That's it. No. Yes, sir. We'll get that job done now. I've got some weight, right? The problem is that this is what has to happen. This handkerchief has got to take on weight for it to be able to go through that screen. You know, when you get saved, your life gets put in union with the Lord. See, Jesus, his life became a force to be reckoned with. How many agree with that? And everything that came up against him, he was able to punch through it and keep going because of the momentum he had and the weight he carried. See, a lot of people are like that handkerchief. There's no weight. And if there's no weight, there's no momentum. They're too light. See, when people get saved, they accept the Lord. They repent. See, if I put weight on this handkerchief now and throw it, years ago I could have thrown it. Of course, the people in the balcony would say, oh, dear God, he's not going to throw that, is he? No. But people get saved, and they accept Christ as their Savior. And they repent. They ask him to be their Lord and Savior. And they're ready. They're on their way to heaven. That's true. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. They don't carry a lot of weight. They're untested. They're untried. Why do you think there's so many rededications? Why does a person even have to rededicate? Because there was an area of their life that was untested and untried, and when they got put in the fire, and when they came to that, they didn't come out on the right side of it. They didn't go the way the Lord wanted, they went the other way. That's why in the last days there's so many warnings and things about, man, don't stay close to the Lord. And when you start feeling yourself, you start losing desire for the things of God, that you're able to go days and weeks without reading this, you had better have enough sense to say, I'm losing weight fast. Because you're getting lighter and lighter and lighter. But when you start putting this word on, see, that's why the parable of the sower. It says the sower went out and threw seeds. Seeds have weight. Because the word has weight. And in the parable of the sower, it says some seeds fell by the wayside. And it says the devil came and picked those seeds up. Why does the enemy come in and try to steal the word? So you won't gain any weight. So you won't have any momentum to push through what's going to push at you and try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. How will you get through it? Momentum. Weight. It's the only way. There's too many of God's people that are too skinny. They don't have enough weight. The first sign of problems, they're out. The first sign I'm uncomfortable, they start looking for someplace else. Instead of doing what Jesus did, which was to do exactly what the Father wanted. It wasn't just because, listen, when things get hard and things get rough, that's not a sign to quit and leave. Pull up stakes. Do you know people that think like that are skinny? They're not heavy. They have no ability to push through, so it pushes them back and they're ready to run. They're like a handkerchief. You can't throw them far. You can't launch them into nothing. They don't have any weight. The seed has not penetrated. Listen to this. Some fell on stony places, hard hearts, hearts that will not, hearts that sit here. And I'm not saying this about you. Believe me, I don't know. I hope it's not about you. I mean, it could be, but I don't know. But see, it's like this. If the Lord is saying something to you today and he's really speaking to you, and in your heart you're saying, you know what, the Lord is really talking to me through that man. Now, that man I know knows nothing about me, but the God he serves does know something about me, and all he is a representative. That's all this is about. And if the Lord is talking to you, a hard heart will say, you know, it's just a sermon, and go on, and you'll go, and you'll just go eat, you'll go on and have a day, as though it never even happened. And here's the problem. You won't gain weight. In fact, you'll probably lose a little weight. So that when the next problem comes up, and it will come up, you won't have any weight to push through. You know what the first thing you'll do? Quit church, quit reading, go back to your old ways. Because you have no weight. There's no seed. The devil's taken it. It's fallen on hard places, stony heart. It says some fell on thorns. You know what thorns represent? It represents all the things in your life that should have been weeded out long ago. See, we have weeds in our life that should have been taken out. And those things come up in our life and they smother the Word of God out. See, here's the thing. You and I as God's people and people around the world that are calling their God, we have to get to the place that we cannot function without God. Do you understand that? See, people have to have medication. They have to have all kinds of things in order to function. They can't function. But how many know that we need God all the time to function? How many know I don't work unless God's in my life? And then the last one, though, it says in the parable of the sower, but others, it says seed fell into the ground. They took on weight. The seed came in. When I read the word got into me, and I didn't let it go. I meditated on it. I quoted it. I memorized it. And when the problems came, I stepped on it, and I believed it. And because of the weight of that, it caused me to push through the force that was pushing against me. It won't happen any other way. We have seasons that we have to go through. And they're mandatory. You have to go through seasons. People say, I don't want to go through seasons. Well, let me tell you something. He's God of the mountaintop and he's God of the valley. He's as much God in day as he is at the nighttime. And let me tell you something. You don't really learn about God on the mountain. You learn about him in the valley. I want to say it again. You don't learn about God on the mountain. You learn about God in the valley. What happens on the mountain? The mountaintop is a time of celebration and rejoicing. The mountaintop is that, man, praise God. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm saved. Praise God. What's the valley? Now I've got to live it out. Now I've got to serve God day after day after day after day. That's that valley. You're going to go back into that world here in a few minutes. You're going to go back on that job in a few minutes. In a few hours. Tomorrow you're going to wake up. The weather's going to be horrible. You're not going to want to go to work on Monday. But it's there for you. And you've got to go. But the only way to get you to push through that is that if you've got some weight to get you through it, to help you come out on the other side so that you can be a conqueror and not just some victim all the time. You know, I heard Dr. Phil say something, and I know he's not a Christian, but in that sense, I don't know if he is or not, but he said some things. He said something. He was talking to a woman that had been in an abusive relationship for 15 years, and he says, ma'am, I'm sorry, but you have not been a victim for 15 years. He said, the first year you were a victim, the last 14 years you've been a volunteer. And I never forgot that. The last 14 years you've been a volunteer. Quit calling yourself a victim. The first year you were. When it comes to spiritual things, you and I have got to have some weight. in order to push through the things that are going to come at you and the forces that are going to try you and the devil that's going to come at you and try to take everything you've got. And don't just think he does things just with evil things. Oh, no, he can bless you. He can cause things to come into your life and give you things in order to distract you from your potential spiritually. He knows all those tools. The rich young ruler, it wasn't because he was poor. It was because he was so rich he couldn't let go of it. And he walked away from the Lord sad and sorrowful. See, that's why I believe this. And this is the one verse that I want to bring out in 2 Corinthians. It says, and I think Justin preached on this, but it says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Well, I want to read it in the King James. We are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. Now, that's odd. There are times as people of God, it says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. There's times it's coming at us from all four sides. I mean, it's coming from the job. It's coming financially. It's coming from your health, from relationships. It's just all of a sudden, you're just barraged with things. But the Bible says you're troubled on every side, but you're not distressed. In other words, it doesn't matter what's coming at me. There's enough weight in me to know this. I'm going to come out of it. How do you know it? Because he's already done it before. Why? Because you've got enough of the word. You're weighty. You're a fat Christian. Because you've sat there and let the seed go in. And it's made you heavy. Folks, mark it down. The devil is coming after us. But why would that bother us? That should not bother us. It's more like we're coming after him. We're here to destroy his kingdom. He doesn't have the final authority or the greatest power. We do. We carry it. That's why when the word comes in and he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Folks, that's a weighty word. But it's not enough just for it to sit in there. You've got to use it. You've got to be able to take the sword of the Spirit and be able to stand up in your home and wherever you are and tell the devil, he's not going to take it. We are not perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means there's no answer. Let me tell you something. Those are some of the hardest places that you do not know why you're there. You do not know how you're there, and you don't know how you're going to get out of there. And believe me, that may be one of the things that I have said all through my 37 years of experience with the Lord is that I don't know how this is going to work out. But what I do know is that I trust him, and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Why? Because of the weight, the word. Is what comes in and takes us and it pushes us through that force that is pushing against us. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. But that's, and then in verse 16 and 17, look at this. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, look at this, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, you know, you read this, a lot of people just, they don't really know how to describe the inward man other than to tell you it's your spirit man and that inward man. And we don't know, you know, there's things that we don't know about, but this is one thing I do know about the inward man. The inward man has the capacity. God made your inward man with the capacity, listen to this, to be a home to the Holy Spirit. I don't think you understand what I just said. Your inward man has been created to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to take a residence inside of you. And that's weighty. For Jesus to be a force to be reckoned with, His followers ought to be a force to be reckoned with. Isn't that right? Because they carry him and he's weighty. How many know the devil knows a lot about Jesus? And then it says here, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, what we're going through right now will not even be compared to what's going to be revealed in us. But what he's talking about is that the weight in us, there's a weightiness to this thing. And when we get to these places and we don't understand, there's a force that's pushing against us to stop us. What do we do? The only thing, you cannot be like this. There's not enough weight there. One of the ways that I could put weight on this handkerchief is to saturate it with water. And it would become heavier, right? And one of the ways God has of making his people heavy is to fill them with the water of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me know you're weighty when you walk around like that. When the word comes in, you say, man, God is talking to me. Right, let it go in. I'm listening to you. I'm going to follow you. Now you're getting heavy. You're getting weighty. And the devil is sitting there going, oh my God. They're fixing to become a force to be reckoned with. They're thinking they can do this. They're thinking they're going to win this. Let me ask you something. When God, and I'm closing at one. Man, I'm really enjoying this because the Lord is here right now. And it time is just kind of, so I'm going to just keep going until we get through. Is that all right? Listen, how much did David weigh when he walked into the Valley of Elah? Just a young teenager, but yet he was a heavyweight. What made him heavy enough to go against that giant? Think about it. What was it in that young man? And even Saul said, put on my armor to make him heavy and protect him. And David said, no, I'm not familiar with that. It wouldn't help me. I appreciate it, King Saul, but that's not what I've used to defend myself. That's not what I've used. See, I've been on the backside taking care of sheep. But in the whole time, I've been writing psalms and singing them to the Lord. And I've been in love with him and talking about that. And that's what makes him such a heavyweight when he takes that valley. Why would God ever put a teenager up against a man of war? You think, oh, what's God thinking? God knows exactly what he's thinking. Goliath has got the whole army of Israel crippled, paralyzed. Why? They had no weight. They couldn't push through the army of the Philistines. When David comes with the cakes of raisins and the cheese to give to his brother, he's walking around and all of a sudden he hears Goliath say this, you know, and he says, who was that? What did he just say? See, David had an ear to hear something they didn't hear. See, Israel would listen to Goliath. David was listening to God. Did you hear what I'm saying? There's some of you here, you better quit listening to the devil and start listening to God. The devil will scare you. The devil will torment you. The devil will terrify you. God will give you victory over that devil. Oh, come on, folks. I'm going to tell you now. That's even a little pathetic as far as a praise. I said that's a little pathetic. Thank you, Lord. See, David was a heavyweight. What made him a heavyweight? For one thing, he loved to praise God. Another thing, he loved God. See, here's the thing. We know this. All things work together for good to them who love God. When the devil sees that a man or a woman is falling in love with God, he knows they're going to be a force to be reckoned with their whole time on the earth, and that he's got to continually keep a barrage around them. Because if they ever get loose, they're going to destroy his kingdom, and he knows it, because they're the only ones who can do it. And I feel God. I'm telling you, God is just, Lord. Lord. You know, I've heard people in the last 30-something years of pastoring, you know how many times people told me, I hear Calvary's going under. I hear they're going to shut the doors over at Calvary. That'll never happen. That'll never happen. Why? Well, for one reason, there's too many of us here that love God. And he can't close the door on that. He can try to contain it. But he can't close it. And that's why we've got to get heavier so we can push through it. Because we're just not asking. I don't know what you're asking for here. I don't know if you want. I'm asking for the city of Pasadena. That's what I'm praying as your pastor. I want the city of Pasadena for God. I'm praying over a home, every school, every business, every church. I'm praying that the boundaries, the city limits around Pasadena, that everything that's not of God, I'm going to run it out. How about you? Have we been barraged? You better believe it. Have we been hit hard? But we go back to, you know, we've been persecuted. We've been knocked down, but not knocked out. Why? We're too heavy. There's too much weight in us. We can't be stopped. Man. Folks, the Lord is doing something right now in here for you, for me. If you'll take it right now, receive it right now. It's not just a good feeling. The Lord doesn't come here to just make us feel good. The Lord comes in here. He's putting weight on us right now. Right now, he's putting weight on you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to begin to confess. Say, Lord, make me heavier. Make me heavier. In the name of Jesus, make me heavier. Lord, there's some of you, you need to say, Lord, I've been losing weight. Please, Lord, stop this weight loss in my life. I'm losing my desire for things, spiritual things, and it's becoming everything I'm putting spiritually is on the back burner. I know that's not the way it can be. Lord, I want you back. I love you with all of my heart, Lord. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be close to you. I want to listen to you. I want your word to come into me, Lord. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to grow in stature. Lord, I want to be a heavyweight. I know it'll take that, Lord, in the last days. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, look at me just a minute. When you're in the valley, he's packing on the weight. That's why when Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Those statements that Paul was able to say at the end of his life, the only way the devil was ever able to stop him was only when Paul finished his course. That was it. And then they beheaded him, and it was over with. When he was through, God just brought him home. Now, how he brings you home, I don't know. It doesn't matter. How? What technique? You know, it just doesn't matter. But I want to say this to you. Before Paul said that in 2 Timothy 4, about I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Before he said those things, before the end of his life, these are some of the things he said. And I just want to go through these kind of quickly. This is what he said. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It was Paul who said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. It was Paul who said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. It was Paul who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was Paul who said, my God shall supply all your need, all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That made him a heavyweight. He didn't just say them, he lived that. It was Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus. These are the things Jesus said before he was crucified. This was cause what made Jesus such a force to be reckoned with. Why nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him. But these are the things he said. He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was how he was able to push through. I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. I can only do what my Father tells me to do. These are the things. And both Jesus and Paul, they both said at one point in their life, on this earth, they both said, everyone has forsaken me. But it didn't matter because people were not their source. And people are not your source. It's your God that's going to get you and me through it. And you need to have a firm hold upon God and his word. Because that's what will make you heavy enough that when God takes you out and whirls you across, you'll go through whatever he's sending you through. There won't be an army, there won't be an enemy big enough. Because for it to be big enough, it would have stopped Christ himself. Let me ask you something. Is greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world? I want you to stand and I want you to praise him. Just praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're not going to go home. You're not going to live depressed. You're not going to live oppressed. You're going to live in victory. You're not going to do without. You're going to make it because your God is going to make a way for you. But you and I, there's a responsibility for us to God, and that is we've got to trust him and believe him. And that's what makes us so heavy.